with Giles Beckford. Inflation has hit its highest level in a decade, as you heard in the news. Consumer prices rose 2.2% in the 3 months ended September, taking the annual rate to 4.9%, just a nudge off the 5% that, Giles, I think people were anticipating maybe next year, but not this soon. Is this much higher than analysts have been anticipating?
This is much higher, Catherine. The expectation, the median consensus, 1.4% rise for the quarter and 4.1% for the year. So well off the mark. This is unequivocally strong. Just looking at some of the components there, the cost of actually building a new house. Now, this is not actually house prices, just as land and nails and timber and wages. 4.5%. Petrol up 6.5%. Rates up 7.1%. Rates are a little bit different because they're just done once a year, and the third quarter is when that's captured. Vegetables, 19%.
Ouch.
Now, some of these things, of course, are seasonal.
Is that seasonal? Or is it, how does it compare to a normal year?
Well, clearly that's, you were depending on the weather. The veggie prices are up and down. Food prices overall were still relatively strong. What this reflects is a real strong inflation pulse through the economy. Interestingly, it's split up into non-tradables, as they call it in the trade, which is domestic inflation, and tradables, which is basically overseas imported inflation, should we look. And we're just seeing here that domestic non-tradable inflation was 4.5% for the year, which shows that we're generating the price rises within our own economy. And that's reflecting shortages of labour, shortages of goods, pent-up demand from the lockdown. So clearly that's been stretching retailers trying to get stock, car yards, for instance, all those sorts of things. And the supply chain disruptions, right, then come in underneath, right? And they add to the disruption. They add to the difficulty in getting stock. We see, therefore, that prices are rising. Interestingly, in ANZ's monthly business confidence survey, they ask a question or ask questions about, what level of prices are you seeing in rising, and what's your intention to raise prices to pass those on. Now, we've only had a partial survey for the month, but the one that we had a couple of weeks ago was that two-thirds of companies were experiencing higher costs, and 85% were expecting to pass them on.
Well, I was going to say, this is not the worst being over, because even that building and land cost, the construction costs at 6%, we were speaking to a figure who had surveyed within the construction sector who estimated that was up at that point to double figures. So we may yet to see the worst to come.
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, I think the expectations were that we'd be touching 5% perhaps going into next year. Clearly, we will be 5%+ going into next year. The problem, of course, is how entrenched is this? How temporary are some of these cost rises? Now, supply chain disruptions, the expectations are that they will last at least another year, possibly longer. So that will mean that the imported inflation impulse and the domestic pressures that that causes will stay with us for some time.
How is this weighted? Because when you say vegetables up 19%, how is the basket of goods weighted? Because if that is seasonal, and because there were some missed opportunities at pivotal times of the growing season.
Yeah. Food prices make up about 19% of the overall CPI. I haven't got the weightings for the other ones, but generally you'll find then that you've got greater weightings on household expenses. So, then that's rents, rates, utilities, those sorts of things. Then you've got transport, and underneath that you've got some of the smaller things, such as clothing. Like, clothing was quite an interesting one, up more than 3% for the quarter.
Well, when you look at this now, the tricky thing now is how much the Reserve Bank can look through. In other words, say, this is an extraordinary situation. Yes, we're outside of our band, but we believe we will naturally come back towards the band at X point in the future. How much can they look through in their decision making? Through the vegetables, look through the supply chain costs?
It can look through the vegetables, it can look through perhaps some of the petrol fuel increases, because that depends on the world price, supply demand there. But in the end, it's already given away. that argument about we'll look through these. At the beginning of the year, the Reserve Bank was arguing that a lot of these things were temporary and that they would ease and they would dissipate, and hence its reluctance to even contemplate tightening its policy. It gave that away the middle of the year when it stopped the bond buying program. In August, it gave it the clearest signal possible. We would have raised interest rates then,
but for the
lockdown. That
and
then
even
occurred.
Then, it said, I'm sure the Christian Hawksby, the associate governor, said that was a communication issue, not a changes the game issue.
Well, yeah, these sorts of numbers only cement the certainty that the Reserve Bank will be raising rates.
Do they do any more to that? Because I think the analysts are anticipating that 25 basis point increase just coming steadily with each review and building up. Does this change that metric at all? Do we see a sudden 50 basis points? Or is that counterproductive? It's not necessarily going to stop the inflationary pressures, but it may have an impact on the economy, which has subsequently had a long lockdown.
I think if we look back at, for instance, the comments that were made in the recent statement a week or so ago, and that interview that you had with Christian Hawksby, basically it was, we will be gradualist, we will be, I won't say predictable, but we certainly are on an upward trajectory. But we're not going to scare the horses
so
and the children.
It may not actually change where things are heading beyond cementing where things are heading
their
thinking.
I mean, there will undoubtedly be analyses in the next few days that suggest that this level of price increases really raises the debate for a 50 basis point rise in order to give bang.
What does that do about your labour shortages or your supply chain problems or anything else?
That doesn't fix any of those.
Yeah.
Right. Supply side issues, right, are barely influenced by monetary policy. It's the demand side.
Okay.
What higher interest rates will do will be perhaps to reduce the demand and bring it down perhaps to a level where it matches the supply side.
Very quickly, for those who've never experienced inflation in their entire lifetimes and still even under 5%, it's modest compared to where we've been in the past. The harm it does is what?
It erodes the value of your savings. It clearly stretches household budgets. It will lead to an increase in interest rates. It's the toxin within the economy in that it erodes so many parts of the value. One of the things that some people will start discussing, I think, is, are we headed for a period of stagflation, which is high inflation and poor growth,
flat growth,
low growth.
1970s.
And that's a debate for another time, but it will undoubtedly raise that.
All right. Thank you very much, RNZ's business editor, Giles Beckford.